welcome to a special Oscar spectacular episode of Consumers. My name is Anthony.
And my name is Craig.
And, Craig, we got kind of into the Oscars this year, didn't we?
Yeah, unintentionally, I think.
Yeah, despite ourselves. It's really funny, this year, I am very rarely interested in the Oscars at all, since I guess I was a kid when I didn't realize that they were a joke or something. But I really got sort of swept up in award seasons this year, and, you know, everything in the lead up to the Oscars, and it almost was like a little bit of an anticlimax when it got to the Oscars, because you have all these awards that almost have more legitimacy than the Oscars before them.
Yeah.
But the Oscars are the big ones, you know. But, yeah, like, I was actually, like, there were, I was gunning for certain films, certain performances, all of them I knew would be wrong, but, you know, I still held out hope, and, yeah, I don't know, it was exciting. I'm still, like, on a little, like, buzzing a little bit after this whole thing, which is just weird. Like, I don't know, this hasn't happened before. How about you?
Yeah, well, I didn't really care, not last year, 2011, because... Like, really, compared to 2012, all the movies nominated for 2011, there's really nothing that special there. And so, going into this year, I didn't really think I was going to care that much. But then I ended up seeing most of the movies and liking almost all of them. So then I got really excited, even though I didn't intend to.
Well, yeah, I mean, of the Best Picture nominees, which we're going to get to... both of us saw every one of them except for Les Mis, which we'll get to as well. And yeah, I agree. I liked the vast majority of them. I don't think I disliked any of them. There was a couple that I thought were a little bit average, but I still enjoyed them for the most part. Like, it was a really good year. There was, it's just, I think we were kind of spoiled in a way.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing about it was that, like, despite the outcome, besides a few very unlikely exceptions, there was pretty much no situation where I was going to be really bummed. Like, I think pretty much everyone who was nominated, like I said, despite a few exceptions, almost everyone who was nominated in their categories, if they won, they would deserve a little statue for what they did. And that's very rare, you know? That doesn't happen very often. Like, you think of the films that were nominated last year, and I don't think any of the films that were nominated for Best Picture deserve a Best Picture statue, you know? That's very strange. It happens, it doesn't happen that often, I don't think. But, I'm feeling good. I feel, optimistic about, you know, the whole thing, which is, like I said, very rare.
Which means, the Oscars for this year will be disappointing if it's some cycle.
Oh, yeah. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. We can be disappointed in the months to come. I didn't get to watch most of the ceremony. I got to see bits and pieces, but due to the time difference, it was on while I was at work. So I managed to I had a friend texting me when all the main events were being announced, so I could quickly run to the lunchroom and watch, you know, so I'll give their speech and whatever. But you caught the whole ceremony, right?
I did. Though luckily, because it took me a while to figure out which channel they were on. Because I was watching E! And they kept repeating the same red carpet stuff. And it's like, when are they going to start this? And I looked and it was, oh, it's on a different channel. Quickly rushed over. Watched the whole thing, all like 9 hours of it, how long it ended up going. Seth MacFarlane, I don't really care about. And like, he was a decent host, I guess. I don't think I've ever seen a great Oscars host, and I've watched the last six or so, I would say.
I just always go back to that, like, there's this one gif of Anne Hathaway smiling, and it's just the most perfect thing, and I just, like, forget how bad that ceremony was, and I just look at that picture of Anne Hathaway, like, that gif of Anne Hathaway smiling in her, like, tuxedo dress thing, and I look back fondly on those Oscars, even though they weren't very good, just because of one gif.
Yeah. Well, it's strange, like, even though the one they hosted was terrible, I think there were at least funny bits, maybe unintentionally, where all of Seth MacFarlane's intentionally funny bits weren't really that funny at all. Like, why was William Shatner reprising his role as Captain Kirk, a TV character from the 60s, in a ceremony about movies? Did they not have anything more relevant?
At least get Chris Pine.
Yeah.
The bits that I did see, there were some very, very off-color bits. Like, I can't really comment because I didn't watch the whole ceremony or anything, but the things that I did and the things that I've seen quoted are just... There are some bits that were just kind of disgusting. And
yeah.
It's, there was the jokes at... I can't pronounce her name. The Beast of the Southern Wild girl. Kovizen, but I don't know. The jokes at her expense are just disgusting.
Mm.
And obviously we know all about the onion... Yeah. The onion C word tweet, which, you know, honestly, if Seth MacFarlane had made that joke, I wouldn't have been surprised. You know, that's the sort of stuff that, of what I did see at the ceremony, that's the sort of stuff that he was saying, and I was just kind of, it was just, I don't know, the whole thing, I don't like hate Seth MacFarlane, I don't like any of his stuff, but I'm not like passionately against the guy, but yeah, I don't know. Just left like a really bad taste. Like, oh, and also the I didn't see the boob song at all. Like, I missed that whole thing. But just the very idea of that and what it means, and if you just look into any of it in any way whatsoever, the amount of like things that he was talking about that like you know, basically there's a list of here are all of the boobs that he mentioned that were during a rape scene, and
yeah.
It's like this is not just. I don't know. It's like when you see those things, it's like, who approved this?
Yeah. Well, anyway, it started off, yeah. Like, for a couple of seconds. I thought, oh, maybe it's going to stop there. Then it continued for, like, 4 minutes. This isn't funny at all. Stop it.
You'd think if he, like, qualified it with Michael Fassbender's Dick and Shame, it, like, maybe would have bought him a little bit of goodwill. But anyway, enough about Seth MacFarlane. So overall, like, it was a pretty shitty ceremony, but they all are, and a pretty good year, I guess, is the biggest takeaway from this thing.
Yeah.
But okay, so what we're going to do tonight is we're just going to talk about the big nominees of the year, so like all the Best Picture nominees and the ones that are some omissions from Best Picture, someone that got acting, you know, we're talking about the Master. And then just go through the awards and who won and who we thought should have won or if we thought it was the right choice. So let's start. We'll talk about the main films in alphabetical order. The first one, Amour. We both saw this in the last week. Obviously, with Amour and as well Silver Linings Playbook and Lincoln, between the two of us we've watched in the last week. We'll probably discuss them in further detail at a later date. But for the time being, we'll just like just basically discuss what we thought of these films briefly. So Amour, we both saw in the last week. What did you think of Amour?
Well, I expected it to be good, but I think it might have actually have been perfect.
Yeah.
I can't think of anything wrong with it or anything that I didn't like. So.
Yeah. I think it's an incredible film. It's brutal. And it's, like, brutal and harrowing are the two words I would use to describe Amour. And it's,
Well, I was surprised that there were, like, a couple of bits that I laughed at. I think they were meant to be funny. I think it was, like, to balance out all this depressing stuff.
Well, that's the thing, though. Like, that's what made it... Like, that's the genius of that film, is that, you know, if you have... The reason that, and like the name of the film is Love for a very good reason, because the reason that that film is so brutal is because these two people love each other so much, and every moment that Haneke shows you of joy in their lives is bittersweet because you know that it's going to end really soon. And it's like, every time, like, there was, one of my favorite scenes in the film was when she first gets her motorized wheelchair. And she's just, like, testing it out in the foyer. And she's, like, spinning around, and then she tries to run him down. And it was such, like, a beautiful and sweet moment. And, like, every single time one of those scenes would end, it, like, almost broke me. Because, like, whenever the scene would end, it would just remind you that, like, this is going to end soon.
Mm.
You know? Because this is a film that makes no... doesn't hide in any way the fact that, you know, it is in no way a spoiler to say that this woman is going to die. That's what the film is. And, it's probably a masterpiece. Like, it's an absolutely incredible film. I couldn't fault it in any way, which I couldn't say for the next film, which is Argo. What did you think of Argo, Craig?
Argo I really liked. Like, I don't know, I don't think it's the best picture, but we'll get into that soon.
Yeah.
But overall, I think it was a really good movie. Ben Affleck is, like, a pretty great director now. And
yeah.
Yeah, that's it, basically. Like, a solid 4 out of 5 movie, I would say.
Yeah, that sums it up for me. Like, I am all about Ben Affleck. I love that dude. I've loved Good Will Hunting. I've loved Gone Baby Gone. I've loved The Town. And I really, really liked Argo. But, yeah, it's a good film. It's a solid 4 out of 5. I have some problems with it. It's a solid film. I don't know. It is, like we said, we'll get to it, but I don't think of it as a best picture film at all. But, I don't know. I like the people who made it, and that's the biggest thing. But as the film itself, it's just pretty good. Okay, Beasts of the Southern Wild.
Yeah, well, I didn't really care about this one.
Yeah, this film is nothing to me. We were talking about the films this year that were, like, that we didn't love, but that were good enough. That's what Beasts of the Southern Wild is for me. It's okay. I don't know. There's things it does really, really well. The performances are really great, especially from the young girl whose name I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce. How embarrassing. I think that Ben Zeitlin did a really, really good job. The direction is really great. I think the world building is incredible. I think it's so ridiculously on the nose, and it's an okay film. I can see why people like it, but it's definitely not for me. It's definitely not for the best picture category.
Yeah, well, it definitely feels out of place compared to all the other ones.
Yeah, it really does. It really does. But I think it's, like, just sort of, we're probably going to touch on this a few times about this episode, but, I think it's basically just a nomination where the old white guys at the Academy are saying we're not that old and white. I think that's pretty much the only reason this film is there, because it's the opposite of an old white guy, and they're really trying to say something with it, I think, and that's about it. Yeah, okay. Next up, Django Unchained.
Well, this movie's sort of about down with the old white guys.
There's a lot of old white guys. That's the main theme of this year, I think. But yeah, I agree. But Django is a pretty awesome movie.
Yeah.
I think we can both agree on that. I think it's kind of the same sort of thing as Argo, except that it's way more entertaining and that it's, like, a really great film. It's, you know, really enjoyable and stuff. I like it when people praise Quentin Tarantino, in the same way that I like it when people praise Ben Affleck, but I don't really see Django as a best picture.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But I think, like, you need one of these fun movies to break up all the other serious ones.
Yeah, yeah. And it is a really fun movie, and I really liked it a lot. But it's not my favourite Tarantino film, that's another thing we're going to get to with all the Tarantino stuff, is that I think it's quite, some people might prefer it to Inglourious Basterds, but I think it's quite fair to say that it isn't as good as Inglourious Basterds.
Yeah.
And, it does feel like it's almost, taking the place of Inglourious Basterds in a lot of ways. But yeah, okay, these next two, were not Best Picture nominees, but they did get a couple of nominations. So first up is Flight and The Impossible. Now, I didn't see either of these films, but you saw both of them.
I did, and the nominations they got, I would say they deserved. Like, I would have been surprised if they got anything else, but Denzel Washington and Naomi Watts, they were both great, the best parts of those movies. So I'm glad they were nominated, even though they obviously weren't going to win.
Okay. You don't think... because I haven't seen the film, I can't comment on Denzel's performance. I'm sure it was great, but a big thing that was up for contention is Christoph Waltz getting a Best Supporting Actor nomination when he was quite clearly a lead actor.
Yeah.
Do you think that he should have gotten Denzel's nomination, or do you think it was fine the way it was?
I never know how they figure these things out. Like, I remember for True Grit, they gave... I've forgotten his name. Big Lebowski guy. Jeff Bridges.
Jeff Bridges. Yeah.
Like, he was nominated for Best Lead, I think. Best Actor. Okay. And I thought he was a supporting character.
Yeah, there's a lot like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Who knows what the rules are with these things? Well, I'm glad to hear that those nominations were worthy. I've got love for both of those actors, so I like it when they get acknowledged. But I haven't seen those films, I don't know what their performances are like in them. But I'm happy to give them the benefit of the doubt. Next up was Life of Pi, which was the big winner of this year's Academy Awards. It got the most wins with 4, which surprised me. What did you think of Life of Pi?
I really liked it. I think it won all the awards it was going to win, all the technical stuff.
Yeah.
I'm surprised Ang Lee won Best Director, though.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's a very well-directed movie, but the first thing you think about isn't the directing.
Yeah, exactly. We'll get to that when we get to the Best Director category, but I thought it was interesting, yeah. And I really the more I think about Life of Pi, the more I liked it. I don't think it was a great film, but I did think it was really, really good. I think it deserves to be on this list. I don't think it's an amazing film, but I do really, really like it, and I really like a lot about it. I really like a lot of the external stuff. I really like a lot of the discussions that it brings up. I really love the way that it tackles the issues that it's trying to tackle, and I have nothing but respect for it in those regards. But I don't think it's a great film at all.
Yeah.
But it's a very good film. Yeah. Next up is Lincoln. Lincoln. I just watched Lincoln. Oh, I just finished Lincoln about 10 minutes ago. Oh, sorry, 20 minutes. We've been recording for 20 minutes. I finished Lincoln, got a glass of water, and started recording this podcast. So it's very fresh in my mind. We've already spoken about Lincoln last week, but I think overall you mostly liked it?
Yes, except for the ending, which I kind of hated. Overall, I thought it was really good. I think it's the most... this is the obvious Oscar bait movie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Lincoln was okay. I found it really hard to stay focused on it for the first, half. I actually just was really bored in the first half. But I found Daniel Day-Lewis's Abraham Lincoln to be... I really, really, really liked his portrayal of Abraham Lincoln. We'll get to whether I think it was a best actor deserving portrayal of Abraham Lincoln, but the fact of the matter is that for the first half of the film, I was really bored with everything that was happening, but whenever he would start speaking, I would be called to attention and be... he would have my complete attention, which I guess is what his whole deal was.
Yeah.
So... in that way, he really killed it as Abraham Lincoln. But I really, really, really liked him. I didn't think it was an amazing performance. I just thought, I really liked him in the same way I really liked Han Solo. And Harrison Ford did not win any Oscars for that one. I don't know. I thought Lincoln was okay. Yeah, like you said, it's definitely Oscar bait. I thought the ending was just ridiculous. I watched Empire of Dreams recently, which is a 2.5-hour documentary on Star Wars, the making of Star Wars, and the majority of the film just goes through the trilogy, right? And it spends a bit over an hour on Star Wars, then maybe 45 minutes on Empire, and then say half an hour on Jedi. But then at the end, there's a 10-minute little coda that feels really out of place, and it's Jedi was done, the film was done, everyone was happy, blah, blah, blah. Also, George Lucas got divorced. Also, now he's making the special editions. Oh, and he's going to make the prequels. The end. And it's just the whole thing deals with the trilogy, and then at the very end, they just tack on all this stuff that's just out of nowhere. You know that it exists. You know that George Lucas made the prequels. You know that he did all this stuff. But it just doesn't need to be there, and it just is really awkward and jarring. And for what is a pretty solid... paint-by-numbers documentary, it just feels off. I don't know. And Lincoln was exactly the same.
Mm.
It was a pretty standard paint-by-numbers historical document that had a really weird ending that it's like, we know this is going to happen. You didn't need to show it. Like, you could allude to it if you want, but there were some very questionable choices. yeah, but it actually struck me how much the Lincoln, the Academy Award-nominated Lincoln, reminded me of a documentary on the special feature DVDs for Star Wars.
And Daniel Day-Lewis reminded you of Harrison Ford.
Yeah, the similarities are huge. But one other thing I'm going to say about Lincoln is all the stuff with the House of Representatives is it's just a bunch of old white guys in a room speaking for a nation, and that was just so relevant to the Academy Awards. Because that's, you see all those studies where it's like, there's like surveys and it's like the median age of the Academy is like 72 or something, and it's 85% white and 70% male or whatever. It's just, when I was watching this film, I was just like, I figured that was the voting process for what should be Best Picture and everything like that. So I thought that was pretty funny.
Well, that's what surprised me. Like, I think, didn't Lincoln have the most nominations?
I think it did, yeah.
And like, as you said, it's like the perfect old white man movie, and yet it won hardly anything.
Yeah, which is really, really interesting. All right, so up next is a film that we both felt was kind of unfairly ignored in certain regards, is The Master by Paul Thomas Anderson. What did you think of The Master, Craig?
I love The Master and pretty much everything about it, including all the things it should have been nominated for and wasn't.
Oh, yeah. The Master's a great film. The Master's a really great film. The Master is like, it's just ridiculous. This is the thing, this is the biggest thing about the Academy Awards, is that The Master, of all the films that came out last year, it was the one film that really felt like a truly great film. And it wasn't my favourite film of last year, but it was a great film. And it got snubbed for Best Picture, snubbed for Best Director. It didn't get, screenplay or anything, did it?
Yeah, or cinematography, or soundtrack.
Yeah,
I think
exactly.
It only got, like, the three acting nominations,
yeah.
I think.
And the acting was incredible, if anything was going to get nominated, I'm sure it should have been those, because they were the big standouts. But, like, yeah, those cinematography, I mean, come on. That was baffling to me. But that's, Joaquin Phoenix and Philip Seymour Hoffman and,
Amy Adams,
were all absolutely incredible. So, it's great that they got nominated, but, yeah, just boggles the mind that the others didn't get nominated. The film that we missed mentioning, that's my fault, was Les Miserables, which neither of us saw, and that's why we missed mentioning it, because not only did we forget about that film, I forgot to mention it in this list. Neither of us saw that film, neither of us really cared about that film. I don't know. Musicals are just almost like a separate category. They're just a different type of film. I'm really happy for the people who like them, but I'm not, like, in any way dismissing... Well, I guess I am dismissing musicals, but I'm not, dismissing their merit. It's just, I don't know. I just don't see them in the same way that I see... I find it difficult to take them seriously. I'm really sorry. I have friends who are really into musicals, and I feel very bad, but I didn't see Les Mis, and I'm sure Anne Hathaway was really good in those 10 minutes she was in. But, yeah. That's all I've got to say about Les Mis.
Yeah, I have no interest in it. I'm still angry that The King's Speech, Tom Hooper's previous movie, beat Social Network, which is terrible.
I mean, I like The King's Speech just fine, but it's not Social Network.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on. Moonrise Kingdom got one nomination, I think, was it screenplay?
Yes.
I really liked Moonrise Kingdom. I didn't see it winning. It didn't win. But I'm glad that it at least got acknowledged.
I would agree with that.
And another film that I didn't see, I don't know if... Did you see The Sessions, Craig?
No.
I hear John Hawkes was great in that, and I hear that it was a bit of a snub that he didn't get nominated. All I know is that I want to see The Sessions. I think it looks really great. I just haven't. But all I know is that when I first saw the trailer for it, I just thought my immediate reaction was, oh, okay, so this is the one that's going to get John Hawkes an Oscar. And then he didn't get nominated. that's all I've got to say about
Guy's always ignored.
Oh, poor guy. Okay, so now, my favourite of the lot, Silver Linings Playbook, which you caught this week, didn't like as much as I did.
Yeah, I was kind of underwhelmed. I wasn't really that excited for it, but I know you loved it, and like a lot of other people really liked it, and some people hated it, and I don't hate it. I'm sort of just right in the middle where I liked some of it and disliked other bits. But
I respect your opinion. I think, you know, it's perfect and an absolutely incredible film, and I think it's just, I think it should have won every award it was nominated in. But I respect your opinion.
Well, I think it was nominated for, like, was it director, picture, the acting, and
screenplay.
Yeah, well, the screenplay is the main problem I have with it. I think there were a lot of really contrived scenes, and, like, well, I guess I'll get into more detail in a later episode, so I won't take up too much time. But it's so strange, a movie where, like, some people were talking about how it was a poor depiction of mental illness, where it's kind of not really mainly about that for most of the movie. And I really disliked the main part I disliked was when he went to the football game with his brother and his friends, and his dad's like, don't get into a fight. So immediately, no, he's going to get into a fight. But the way he got into the fight was such a strange moment. Like, he runs into his therapist, who is an Indian, and is there with a bunch of Indian guys. And then some racists randomly appear and start fighting them. And then
it's a football game. They're always there.
Maybe, but then, like, the whole point of that fight scene is just to set up this weird bet where De Niro's friend suddenly becomes the enemy of the movie for some reason. And, like, this weird bet involving a football game and then the dance. It's yeah, I just kind of lost interest after that.
I understand everything you're saying. When all those things happened in the film, the things that you're pointing out, there were all moments where I thought this could have gone wrong, but it didn't for me. But I can, like I said, I can see why it could easily, you know, it was towing the line a lot of times. But for me, it worked every single time, and I had no problems with anything that happened. But anyway, we'll get into more detail on this and Lincoln and a more later date. But for the time being, let's just quickly touch on Skyfall, which I didn't think we would really be talking about that much at this year's Oscars, but it won more Academy Awards than Silver Linings Playbook. It won more than Zero Dark Thirty. It's got two statues. I think that were they both for sound?
Maybe.
Sound editing and original song. So yeah, they were both sound related, which it was definitely not the standout of the film. But we'll get to that. but yeah, Skyfall. I loved Skyfall. I really loved it. I wouldn't think it should get a bunch of Oscars. But I'm happy that it did, I guess, you know, because I really like the film, so I'm happy for it. You were a fan of Skyfall as well?
Yes, and I guess it's just the Sam Mendes touch that, because he's involved, it's suddenly a great movie, and that's why it's getting nominated.
Yeah.
But I think it deserves most of those nominations, especially one of them in particular.
Yeah. And the last... I'm sorry, I'm eating. Okay, that's it. That's the last one. I'm done. I'm nothing but professional. The last film, the one that we're probably going to talk about a fair bit, I think, well, I've got some things to say about it, is a little film called Zero Dark Thirty. Did you like Zero Dark Thirty?
Yeah, it's fitting that this is left to last, because this is what I would have picked for the best picture.
Yeah. It's fitting that it was left to last, because that's what the Academy did as well. Yeah. Boom. I pretty much have to agree with you on that. I had some reservations about it getting Best Picture, but I think of all the films, I think it was the Best Picture. I liked Silver Linings more. I thought Amour was better, but I thought overall Zero Dark Thirty was the was Best Picture, and I think there's a lot to be said about Argo getting Best Picture over Zero Dark Thirty, which we'll get to in a little bit when we get to the Best Picture category. But yeah, so I think it's safe to say we both thoroughly I loved Zero Dark Thirty, and I thought it was a really truly excellent film, and I think in years to come that's going to be one of the main ones that's remembered from this year. I think it's a damn shame that I think that everything that didn't go Zero Dark Thirty's way was external. I don't think it had anything to do with the film at all.
Yeah, and especially now that, like, the day after the Oscars, the politicians dropped their weird investigation into the pro-torture stuff.
Did they?
Yep. So I was just reading that before we got on here, which is very suspicious.
Lovely. yeah, I have a, there's a big part of that. We'll get to that later, but yeah, Zero Dark Thirty got robbed. It got robbed, I tell you. Alright, let's get on to the awards. Let's get into these bad boys. We're just gonna touch on the main ones. Not gonna talk so much about, you know, well, let's just quickly do a big sweeping category. All of the sundry awards. Editing went to Argo, that's cool. William Goldenberg, who got the award for editing, was also nominated for Zero Dark Thirty, which I think probably should have gotten it for Zero Dark Thirty, but either way he was going to get it, so I guess it was just like, we don't like Zero Dark Thirty, let's give it to Argo.
Yeah.
Whatever, who cares. Visual effects, obviously, was Life of Pi, because those visual effects were incredible. And visual effects is a really, really, really interesting category because of all the controversy that's going on with visual effects at the moment. Because there was a big protest out the front of the Oscars. Basically, the company who did the visual effects for Life of Pi has just filed for bankruptcy. I do not know enough about the topic to go into it, but at the very least, I want to acknowledge it because whoever listens to this podcast should look into it like I need to look into it. but it just needs to be acknowledged that these guys are being treated very poorly. And when I didn't catch his speech, but I have heard all about it, that just as I think it was Bill Westenhofer, I could be wrong, whoever gave the speech for the company, just as he started getting into their plight, got the Jaws theme. The Jaws theme. What?
Well, it was even worse than that. Cause they played the Jaws theme, and he kept talking, and then they muted him. So they really didn't want to know.
Yeah, and that's just really just kind of disgusting, really.
Like, yeah, and he hadn't. I don't think he'd even been talking for a minute, and they did it. So this is just visual effects guy. He's not important. Cut him off.
Yeah, well, I mean, they didn't want anyone to like discuss real issues, I guess.
Yeah.
But you're only allowed to discuss real issues if you're an actor and you want to, I don't know, read your poetry or whatever. costume design, Anna Karenina. I didn't see Anna Karenina, but I just watched Lincoln, and I think half of Daniel Day-Lewis Lewis's best picture, oh, sorry, best actor award should go to the costume designers. So the fact that that film didn't get best costume design is bizarre to me because... I guess it got best production design. I don't really understand these categories. Like, does costume design just mean, like, the actual clothes themselves?
Or, yeah, main production design is, like, the sets and stuff.
So where does... Oh, wait, there's a separate one for makeup.
Is there?
Which Lincoln wasn't nominated for. I don't know. All I know is that, like, Lincoln's... Daniel Day was all about the costume design or the makeup or whatever category it falls into. I don't know. I haven't seen the other films in the best costume design category, but I've seen Lincoln, and that was some pretty impressive costume design, I thought. But I don't know anything about these categories, so just ignore me. And Les Mis got makeup and hairstyling. Lincoln got production design, and life goes on. Best cinematography. Our boy Roger Deakins.
Yeah, I don't understand this. How can he keep losing? Are they not watching the movies?
I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. Like, I think, is it because it was on Skyfall? But, like, you know, he was on other films that were, you know, not James Bond films that had incredible cinematography, and he lost those two in previous years. I don't know. Skyfall, hands down, had the best cinematography of the year. Best cinematography in years. Like, it was just absolutely breathtaking. And, I don't know, the guy from Dinosaur Jr. won instead. So, yeah, that's cool. I guess.
Well, it's really hard to tell what is special effects and what is the cinematography in Life of Pi, which is why I'm not really sure it deserved it.
But another way of interpreting that is that it's almost like a progressive choice from the Academy, because they're acknowledging, you know, that cinematography isn't just the guy taking the pictures. There's more to it than that. It depends if you agree with that or not, but it seems like that's a big part of why they went that way. But, you know, good for them. Best sound mixing was Les Mis, I guess, because it's the musical. Best sound editing was the tie between Skyfall and Zero Dark Thirty.
Yeah, which I think it's like there's only been like 6 ties in Oscar history. I didn't know there could be ties. What?
Yeah, I think the last one was in 1994. Yeah, no, pretty crazy. But okay, so, and then along with that, there's the documentaries and the animated and the shorts, which, you know, we aren't really going to go into. I'm really glad that Paper Man won Best Animated Short Film. I think it was always going to get Best Animated Short Film, but I really love that. That's the short film that was attached to Wreck-It Ralph, which was absolutely gorgeous, and you can watch on YouTube right now, and you should do it, because it's fantastic.
Yeah, because I haven't seen any of these in these categories.
Yeah. I haven't seen any of the foreign films, but, you know, I really liked it more. I'm glad it got something. At the very least, just to see Michael Haneke's fake Twitter account gloat for like an hour or two between best foreign language film and best picture, the window of time that he had to hang shit on Ben Affleck before he could never hang shit on Ben Affleck again.
But, like, you know Amour's going to win because it's also nominated for Best Picture.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know
why
they do. They did that for Up, too. And it's like, well, obviously that's the best animated movie then.
Yeah, yeah. It's strange. It's weird. I don't know. And then if it doesn't win, does that mean that it has a better chance at the actual Best Picture? It's strange. One thing that I really noticed with a lot of these awards is that it's almost like just a shuffling around. So it's kind of... I feel bad, but it's almost like a sort of... you know, primary school soccer team where it was just kind of, there's so many good films, you guys all get a trophy, you know? Because, you know, it's a more like, yeah, you deserve Best Picture, but, you know, we want to give it to Argo so you can have Best Foreign Picture. And then, you know, we'll get to a couple of others later, but it really felt like a lot of them were just sort of shuffling them around, but, like, no one look at that weird kid in the corner, Zero Dark Thirty.
Well, I do kind of like that almost everything got something, because normally one movie sweeps everything. And I was expecting, like, Lincoln to do that. And I kind of liked it.
I'm so glad that didn't happen.
Yeah, well, that would have been disappointing, where I'm glad sort of...
Yeah.
Almost everyone that deserves something got something, almost.
It's like... It's I think it's more of a good thing than it is a bad thing. I think that it sort of lessens the legitimacy of the awards if they're sort of... If they don't seem quite... it doesn't really feel like every single award was judged on the category specifically. But at the same time, it's cool that, you know, there were a lot of really good films this year, and most of them got acknowledged, and that's cool. But okay, so enough with the sundry awards. Let's get to the main ones. Let's start with writing. Now, so there's adapted screenplay and original screenplay. Adapted screenplay went to Argo, Chris Terrio for Argo. Now, what did you think of that?
Well, it's hard to judge these because I haven't read any of the source material. But, like, yeah, it was
true.
A good script. Yeah. No. I'm glad. Like, I really thought this was the one that Lincoln was going to get because it's by the guy who seems to win a lot of writing awards, Tony Kushner, who's won, like, the Pulitzer Prize for drama. Like,
oh, okay.
So he seems to be, like, a major thing, and I'm surprised he didn't get it. Especially since so much Lincoln is about writing. It's just guys talking and giant monologues and that kind of thing.
I will say that for me, like, I really didn't like the screenplay for Lincoln when I was watching it. Like, that was probably, like, one of my biggest criticisms. There were elements of it that were really good, but for the most part, there were some bits that were really on the nose, and, yeah, I was glad that Lincoln didn't get it. I know we're going to disagree here, but I really, really liked the screenplay for Silver Linings Playbook, and I thought of all the awards that it was nominated, that film was nominated for, I thought it deserved screenplay, and I was really hoping David O. Russell would get it, and I was quite disappointed that he didn't. I think Argo is a fine film. I don't think it has a very good screenplay. I think the pacing and everything towards the end of the film, on a writing level is really quite weak, and I think that the film almost falls apart towards the end. And I think a lot of that is on... I think most of that, honestly, is on the screenplay. Now, a lot of the time it's hard to tell whether it's the direction or the screenplay, and I think Ben Affleck has had that... has had that weakness in all three of his films, but I think it was most present in Argo, and for that reason I think that Argo getting best screenplay is a little bit off, but I think it was more deserving than everyone else other than Silver Linings, which I think should have gotten it personally.
I did like Chris Terrio's speech, because he was talking about how Ben Affleck won for his first screenplay, he was, and it was kind of fitting like that.
Yeah. That's actually one thing that... Pretty much every award when, even though I, okay, so when the Academy Awards, just before they started, I tweeted who I wanted to win each award. And well, they weren't my predictions, but they were, I think this should be, you know, for each category. And I was wrong on every single one of them. Not a single one of the ones that I wanted to win won. But when every single person went up to accept their award, their speeches were so good that I was like, aw. Like, Ang Lee, I don't think he was the best director, but as soon as he, like, was up on stage smiling, I was like, oh, you know, you can have it. And it was the same for Chris Terrio. Like, when he started talking about, like, you know, Ben's Good Will Hunting Oscar, I was like, oh, you got me. even though I think that was his David O. Russell statue. But, yeah. That was mostly sort of a category where I think that none of them were truly exceptional. And pretty much anyone other than Lincoln and Beasts, I think, could have gotten it.
Yeah.
I mean, if it was going to be anyone, it was going to be Argo or Silver Linings for me, and I wanted Silver Linings, but it wasn't, and that's okay. Original screenplay. This one's a little bit more... I don't know. Would you agree with me in saying that Quentin Tarantino was not getting the Oscar for Django Unchained?
You think he was getting it for Inglourious Basterds?
Oh, yeah. I think he was holding Mark Boll's award.
Yeah, I would that definitely... That was given they should to have him. Swapped.
Yeah. Because, yeah, exactly, because didn't,
Yeah, because he won for Hurt around? Locker, where, I was like, what? Inglourious Basterds should have won then, and then Zero Dark Thirty could have won
exactly,
now.
Exactly. It's just a weird, that's exactly what I was talking about before, about this weird shuffling of the statues around, because, Bastard's script was definitely stronger than Hurt Locker's, and Zero Dark Thirty's script was definitely stronger than Django's. I think this was definitely, the award for... It should have definitely gone to Zero Dark Thirty, but, you know, same thing. Like, I love Quentin Tarantino, and I was really happy to see him get the Oscar. I don't think that it's the film that he should be getting it for, but, you know, I'm really glad that he got it.
Yeah, because he's only... And, he shared one for Pulp Fiction, and that's, like, the only one he's ever got.
Yeah, so it was cool that he got another one. Of the other ones, Moonrise has a pretty great script, but, you know, not an Oscar-winning script. I don't know about Flight. Amor was very much very performance. It was very directorial. It wasn't so much on the screenplay. So I think I really think that this was a no question. Zero Dark Thirty had the best script. Zero Dark Thirty script was pretty incredible, and it's a shame that that's what I mean. Like it's this really bittersweet thing because I like the guy who got the statue and he deserves one, but it was. It wasn't the best screenplay of the bunch.
Yeah. Well, I am glad that... Because I always love watching Tarantino talk, and he's like... they start playing the cut-off music, and he was like, no, stop it, I haven't finished talking yet. And it was amazing.
I think he's just amazing. I think we can all agree on that. Okay, so... Let's go into the supporting actors and actresses. Neither of us saw Les Mis, so what are we really going to say about Best Supporting Actress? I saw the trailer, I saw Anne Hathaway singing, she looked really good. I was personally gunning for Amy Adams. I thought Amy Adams was almost an unsung hero in The Master. She was really incredible in that film in a really subtle performance, and
was The Master.
Ooh,
do you not agree?
No, I totally agree.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, going back to Anne Hathaway, she obviously...
It's just who is the Phantom Menace? Who is the Master? It's just... yeah, sorry, yeah.
Anne Hathaway is probably the best thing about that movie. Even I can tell that, and I haven't seen it. Everyone talked about her in a positive way, where everything else is kind of mixed.
Yeah, there was when they were showing the clips for Best Actor and it showed Hugh Jackman, I was really taken by the 30 seconds they showed of him. But I don't know if that was just in like that one musical number, because I also saw bits and pieces that didn't seem that impressive. But, you know, neither of us can really say much about the actors in Les Mis because we didn't see it. But, you know, I like Anne Hathaway. Yeah, it's the same thing. That's cool that you got it. I would really like it if Amy Adams had gotten it. I really like Amy Adams and I think she's an incredible actress, but... Yeah, one big thing, and I think this just was the year. This year was very much male actor heavy, which is something that we'll get into in the leading roles section. But the supporting ones not so much, but definitely in the leads, it felt like there were a few nominees for best lead actress who were a little quite weak. Whereas I think pretty much every best lead actor could have gotten it, really.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a shame, I think. But yeah, I mean, like, when you look at this, I definitely don't think Sally Field, I didn't see the Sessions, definitely not Jackie Weaver. As much as we spoke about this before the show, as much as I love Jackie Weaver in that film, it was a very minor role, and it's not really a supporting actress role. So really it came down to Anne Hathaway and Amy Adams for me. And, you know, I was happy with either.
I would have loved if Juno Temple for Killer Joe had been nominated.
Oh, that would have been amazing.
That was such a brave, risky performance.
Brave is right. That was that's an interesting film. Yeah. Now, supporting actor. This is kind of similar to original screenplay. Christoph Waltz getting his second Academy Award for Inglourious Basterds.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just that they just were like, you were that good in that film that we're going to give you another one. There's no other way to explain it. Philip Seymour Hoffman was insane in The Master. That's one of the best performances I've ever seen. And Christoph Waltz was just playing a character that Tarantino wrote for him. He was playing, in a way, he was playing himself, I guess. Like, he was exceptional in Django, but he was not... He was not, like a lot of these awards, he was not an Academy... It was not an Academy Award-winning performance. I think Philip Seymour Hoffman, hands down, was the best actor in this category. I personally, despite that, I was kind of gunning for De Niro, because I thought he was really, really, really incredible in Silver Linings Playbook. And not just because I'm really biased towards that film, I thought that he... in the same way that Jackie Weaver did a lot with a small role, but it was just that his was a bigger, small role, I guess. The scene where De Niro comes to Pat in his bedroom and sort of almost confesses that, like, you know, he's been a bad father. I think it was almost on the nose, but I thought it was really, really, really excellent. I thought the first half of the scene, if we're really going to get into it, the first half of the scene where he's not actually talking about it, he's talking about something else, but you can tell it's what he's talking about, was just brilliant. And I just thought throughout the film, my favorite part of Silver Linings Playbook was Robert De Niro, because I thought that just the portrayal of this guy who, you know, all the focus is on Pat Jr., how Pat Jr. is suffering from mental illness, when it's quite clear that Pat Sr., Robert De Niro, is also suffering from undiagnosed mental illness.
Mm.
And the way that that De Niro and Russell made that character work was just unbelievable. I thought that was absolutely incredible, and I would have been really happy if he got the Oscar for it.
Well, it's really refreshing, yeah, to see De Niro giving a shit again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I think this is one of those categories where anyone could have won, except for maybe Alan Arkin. I'm not really sure why he's nominated.
Yeah, I love Alan Arkin. I don't know why he's in there.
Like, and they've all won before, so it doesn't really matter if they didn't win.
And he was clearly the best part of Argo, I thought. Like, he was amazing in Argo, but I think John Goodman should have been there of Alan Arkin.
Yeah.
But I didn't really know why he was nominated. But, I think it was definitely... Christoph Waltz was getting another award for Bastards that should have been Philip Seymour Hoffman's, but I wanted it to be Robert De Niro's. Who did you think... I assume that you are Team Hoffman?
Yeah. Though I'm surprised they didn't give it to Tommy Lee Jones. I think he was the best part of Lincoln, maybe. I'm not sure. He's definitely not the best of those five, but he seems like the kind of guy that they would have given it to. I think.
Well, I just watched No Country recently, and I think he should have gotten one to make up for No Country because he's ridiculous in that film.
Yeah, and like the one he won was for The Fugitive, which like is an okay movie, but he's not really like amazing in that. It's really weird that he won in that over Ralph Fiennes and Schindler's List, which I learned today.
Huh. I just think they should have given him another one to make up for not getting one for Agent K.
That would have been great.
Okay, so let's get to the lead roles. So Jennifer Lawrence, best actress. I love Jennifer Lawrence. I don't think that's uncommon, but Jennifer Lawrence is just she's really incredible, and she's really incredible in Silver Linings. But I think it should have been Jessica Chastain.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Jessica Chastain was really incredible in Zero Dark Thirty. I think hands down she was best actress, and yeah, I mean just the range of emotions that she displays, that just everything that she goes through in that film, like she carries that film, she really does. And I guess it's this weird thing where it's like, you know, Daniel Day-Lewis got it for Lincoln because he carries Lincoln because it's like a solo performance, you know, and should that be judged higher because it's a solo performance rather than a sort of more ensemble performance, which is what Silver Linings Playbook is. But I really think that Jessica Chastain was just truly incredible in Zero Dark Thirty, and that film lived and died by her performance, and like the reason it was so incredible, you know, was because she was so incredible in it. And I really, really love Jennifer Lawrence's performance. I really, really love that Jennifer Lawrence has an Oscar, but I just don't think she was the best actress in that category, which is basically sums up everything in this year's Oscars.
Yeah, I would have been fine with her or Jessica Chastain or Emmanuel Reaver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was really great. I think it's strange, or maybe it just has a lot, again, like as we were saying, between the lead actor and lead actress, but I thought that I don't remember the name of the male lead in Amour, but you know, he was incredible.
Yeah, I'm surprised he wasn't nominated as well.
And she was. Like but I mean that category was almost like it was like, oh, it's like Jean-Louis Trintignant, maybe. I don't speak French. But that was like that category was also the big publicity one because of Corvin Zanay Wallace's age and Emmanuel Reaver's age. Yeah, so I think that was a big part of it. Now, okay, the big one, I think, for both of us is Best Actor. I've got nothing but love for Daniel Day-Lewis. That dude is great. But he was not the Best Actor of 2012.
Mm.
That was hands down Mr. Joaquin Phoenix. And I think it's really great that he summed up the awards in a GIF that went around when they were announcing his name. And it's very important to note that it was when they were announcing his name, not in reaction to losing.
Yeah.
A GIF of him just sort of shaking his head because he just doesn't give a shit. And I think it was almost like he was resigned to the fact that he's like, he didn't care, but he sort of knew that he wasn't going to get it. I wasn't in his head. I don't know. But, Freddie Quayle in The Master just, I think in the same that we were saying that like the way Jessica Chastain is to Zero Dark Thirty, he's like that in The Master, except that he's also sharing the screen with Philip Seymour Hoffman, like, and they're both like elevating each other and just like, those performances are some of the best performances I've ever seen on film. Daniel Day-Lewis and Lincoln is certainly not. He is perfectly fine as Abraham Lincoln. He's an very, very, very good actor. He was not as good as Joaquin Phoenix. He did fine as Lincoln. He did what he had to do, but he didn't go past that at all.
Mm.
And I loved him in Lincoln. I really, truly loved him in Lincoln. But he was not best actor.
And he did have a really great speech and a joke about how he was originally going to play Margaret Thatcher and
that was
going to play Lincoln.
And that's exactly what I was saying before, like, you know, every time someone got on the stage, you know, when he got up on the stage, I'm like, you know, you're holding Joaquin Phoenix's award, but he's just being so funny and just such, he's just so likable that you're like, oh, well.
I would have loved to have seen Joaquin Phoenix go up there and just, like, grumble, thank you, and then leave.
I would have loved to see Joaquin Phoenix pull a Kanye up on the stage, though. Oh, hell no. That would have been great.
Well, maybe
it would have been great if Kanye got on stage and took
Thomas Anderson movie.
Maybe, maybe. There's a couple of things I want to say, though. First of all, I thought Bradley Cooper put in an Oscar-worthy performance in Silver Linings Playbook, and I wish that he wasn't up against Daniel Day-Lewis, because in a perfect world, The Master and Silver Linings would have come out in different years, and Bradley Cooper would have gotten an Oscar for it, because he was really great in that film, and he really deserves to be acknowledged for that. Like, that was a really great performance. I really loved him in that film. I don't know if people don't take him seriously because he's Bradley Cooper or what, but he was just, yeah, that was, I think it's like when a primarily comedic actor goes drama, they have to be like a full-on comedian and then go like full-on drama, like a sort of, like a Robin Williams type of thing, you know? Whereas Bradley Cooper wasn't either extreme, so not so much. But, yeah, I thought he was really excellent. But a big thing that I want to say about the difference between lead actor and lead actress is that Jennifer Lawrence won for Silver Linings Playbook, and I think Bradley Cooper was much better in Silver Linings Playbook than Jennifer Lawrence was, and that's in no way detracting for Jennifer Lawrence. I just thought that Bradley Cooper was just phenomenal in that film, and, you know, people weren't even really mentioning him for Best Actor, whereas, like, Jennifer Lawrence was the favourite for Best Actress. And I think that says a lot about this year's crop, because, or just how competitive the Best Actor field was. Yeah. I mean the Academy Awards are always male-heavy, Hollywood is always male-heavy, and that's a real bummer. But I think that really says a lot.
It's weird seeing Bradley Cooper in a movie like this, because I remember, did you ever watch Alias?
Yeah, I did.
And
yeah,
he was,
yeah,
like, the annoying friend of Jennifer Garner in that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's weird that he's now, like, a Best Actor nominee. Of all the people in the show, he's in this position now. It's very weird.
Yeah, yeah. But, oh, well, I think that's great. I think that's really funny, and I think it's great. okay, so, yeah, I think continuing the trend of, you know... the other thing I wanted to say about Daniel Day-Lewis winning Best Actor is, I think, you know, it's of note to say that he is the first person to ever get 3 Best Actor awards, which is a really big deal. And I think that's actually... I mean, it's pretty obvious to me that that's the reason that he got it, because I think most people who were like, oh, yeah, Daniel Day-Lewis for Lincoln, excellent, of course, I don't think a lot of those people saw Lincoln.
Yeah.
Because when you think, oh, yeah, Daniel Day-Lewis, he's incredible in Lincoln. Like, of course he's incredible in Lincoln. He's Daniel Day-Lewis. You know, he has to be incredible in Lincoln. I think that this he won this award before anyone even saw the film.
Yeah.
It's just based
on his name.
As
soon as he was announced as being in the movie, I think people knew that he was going to win.
Like, him, like, you look at his performance in Lincoln compared to his performance in There Will Be Blood. You take any 30 seconds from There Will Be Blood, any 30 seconds, the lowest lows in There Will Be Blood, and they were so far beyond his performance in Lincoln. His performance in There Will Be Blood is an Oscar-winning performance, you know, and his, like, you know, I just, the whole, whenever, every time I thought about him winning for Lincoln, I just thought about him yelling, "I'm finished."
Yes.
And I was just like, nah, that's not even the same thing.
Well, I was thinking how cool, how much better Lincoln would be if it was Daniel Plainview as president. And just yelling at everyone.
No, when the bill passed, he just yelled, "I'm finished." That would have been great.
Or he beat someone to death. That's what Lincoln needed.
Oh, he beat the kid from Pushing Daisies to death. that was really weird casting as well. I don't know why that dude was in
He was really great, I thought.
I found it, like, by the end I was, like, sold on him, but for the first, like, I don't know, half an hour, I just couldn't take him seriously. I don't know, maybe that's just me. But yeah, I think he performed admirably, but I just thought it was strange casting. So, the big two, Best Director and Best Picture. Best Director going, of course, to Ang Lee. To pull back the curtain a bit, I can't decide what picture to use for the cover of this podcast, because there have been so many good photos coming out of these Academy Awards. There was, like, you know, Jennifer Lawrence pulling the finger, and, like, all this stuff would be so
Ang
great.
Ang Lee eating a burger with his Oscar.
That's it. I think that's got to be the cover up for this one. That photo is so perfect that I think you heard it here first. I think that's going to be the album art for this one because that's such a good photo.
Well, I'm glad he won Best Director just for that photo now.
Yeah, me too. But who did you think should be Best Director? Because I think we both agree that it wasn't Ang Lee.
Well, yeah, this is the hardest category because I think all the people I really liked aren't here, like Catherine Bigelow or Tarantino or Paul Thomas Anderson. I don't think these five are the best directors.
Yeah, I think David O. Russell is. I seem to be pretty fond of that dude. I think this category should have been, personally, I think it should have been David O. Russell, Paul Thomas Anderson, Catherine Bigelow, Ben Affleck, and pick one of the other ones and they can come in as well. But, I think, definitely not Steven Spielberg. I love Steven Spielberg, but I don't know, he didn't really do that much in Lincoln. Not Ben Zeitlin. You know, that would have been cute, I guess. The whole time, everything that Beasts of Southern Wild were nominated for, I was like, oh, that would be cute if they won. The end. Like,
well, I don't like it when people are nominated for the first thing they do, because then I feel like that. I think they think they've got to constantly try and better what they've just done.
Yeah, oh, well, actually, one really messed up thing is I saw, like, the press Q&A with Jennifer Lawrence. Did you see that?
No.
It was just awful. Like, you always see this, like, the shitty way that the press treats, like, females in Hollywood. It's just really just despicable. And I think that one of the best examples is there's like a gift set that's gone around a bunch of times where it's, I think, Robert Downey Jr. and Scarlett Johansson doing press for the Avengers. And, you know, Robert Downey Jr. gets this question about, like, you know, the political weight of Tony Stark's character and what it means or something along those lines. And he answers. And then goes, oh, and Scarlett, you know, that suit of yours was really tight. Did you have to, like, work out a lot to get into it?
Yeah.
And she's just like, are you kidding me? Like, why does he get the, you know, the real question? Anyway, with Jennifer Lawrence's thing, it was all like, you know, what was involved with getting into that dress? And she was just kind of like, she's like, are you serious? Like, I got up, I had a shower, I put the dress on. Like, what do you want from me? And, like, you know, all of these just, you know, she's just one best actress and she's getting all these, like, all this bullshit thrown towards her. Like, you know, all just, it was really despicable. But one thing of note was that that one guy was like, you know, you're only 22, you've just won Best Actress, you know, is that a good thing? And she's like, I think so, I'm really happy that I won. and he's like, but don't you think that perhaps, you know, it's all downhill from here? And she's just like, what? It was just so awful for her. I don't know, it was just such a dick move, and I hate everyone. I hate everyone except Jennifer Lawrence.
Well, it's annoying that they ask these sort of offensive questions, and then, two, that these questions are always so boring. Like, you see her on the red carpet, the first thing she does when she arrives is asks if there's any food inside. And they're like, no, you're going to have to wait till afterwards. And she's like horrified because she's so hungry. She's so different. And, like, can't they think of better questions to ask these people?
Well, whenever you see her on David Letterman, I really love David Letterman. I'm a massive Late Show fan, and whenever you see her on Dave, it's just the best. Like, I'm not sure it was the first time she was on, but the first time I saw her on Dave, she fist bumped him, and up until that point, I was like, that girl's really pretty. And then I saw that interview, and I was just like, I'm so sold on you for the rest of your life. Like, you are incredible. You fist bumped David Letterman. You're the best. And, she's so great. Whenever she's on Dave, it's really interesting conversation. They just talk about things. Like, it's not, there's no bullshit, and it's really great. And then when you see her at these, like, press junkets, and it's like, who are you wearing? And I mean, I know it's always who are you wearing, but it's like, you know, Daniel Day-Lewis will get all these real questions, and she'll get questions about, you know.
Yeah, well, Daniel Day-Lewis is like, so did you really write letters in character as Lincoln to everyone in the cast?
Yeah, it's just an absolute joke. So anyway, back to Best Director. I think, yeah, that's a very strange category. I wanted David O. Russell to win. I really felt passionately that the direction of Silver Linings Playbook was really excellent as well. There were a lot of, it maybe was a little bit, director heavy at times, but I thought it was either that or Michael Haneke. And Michael Haneke sort of stepped back from the camera enough that, and just sort of let the performances take over. I thought that it should have been David O. Russell, especially because I didn't realize that Ang Lee already had one. For some reason, I thought that he hadn't won one before, but I was mistaken. I think he won one for Brokeback.
I think it was that, or...
It missed out on Best Picture, just like this year, I think, it missed out on Best Picture, but he won for Best Director,
yeah.
I believe.
Yeah, because I think he's the only person with two Best Director awards and no Best Picture.
Yeah, it was Brokeback Mountain. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because it didn't get Best Picture. I don't know. I think we've pretty much, we definitely agree on that. But the big one, Best Picture... The best picture of 2012 apparently was Argo, which
surprisingly,
it was the favorite. Everyone was like knew it was going to be Argo, but like it really was not the best film of 2012. I think that's like pretty safe to say.
It was really weird. A good movie. It was nominated, but he wasn't nominated for Best Director, so everyone just presumed it wouldn't win Best Picture, and then it started getting more steam, and like it's actually going to win Best Picture, and then it did, and it's. Like, how did that happen?
I'm really
confused.
It's strange. Like, I hear, I've heard people say, like, oh, you know, it's just that the Academy loves Ben Affleck. And it's just, what? He didn't get nominated for Best Director. Like, he got totally snubbed for Best Director. I think that he would have deserved a Best Director award, but not Best Picture. I think it should have been the other way around. But this is the one that I'm the most torn with because I really love Ben Affleck. I really like George Clooney. It made me so happy to see them up there. You know, Ben's speech was amazing. I'm a huge fan of the guy, and I'm really happy that he won. I just wish it wasn't for Argo. Like, I just want to make it clear that when Argo was probably like my most anticipated film of the year. I was just really excited about this film. I knew about the story before it was even like optioned, and I remember thinking this was a really interesting story. I really loved the town. I really loved Gone Baby Gone. I really loved Ben Affleck. It just, when I found out that he was making this film, it just seemed like, you know, the stars were aligning, you know, and I was so excited for this film, and I was a little bit disappointed coming out of it. I think it really had its problems, and so I could have lied to myself and said this was the best picture, but it wasn't. But the biggest thing that I wanted to mention about it was the First Lady, Michelle Obama, presenting.
Yeah, that was... I didn't expect that at all. I don't think anyone did. So random.
Yeah, but I think that it was really... It really sums up why Argo got this award and Zero Dark Thirty didn't. Because Zero Dark Thirty really, really, really suffered since it came out. Because if you remember, when Zero Dark Thirty came out, the initial... critical response, before there was any other social discussion, when it was just purely on a critical level, it was overwhelmingly positive. I think at one point it was like 100% on Rotten Tomatoes and like 99 on Metacritic. Like, it was insanely positive. And then the whole pro-torture debate came up, and saying that this film is pro-torture, and people were just like making this assumption without seeing the film or something. They just knew that torture was in it. They basically said, well, there's torture in this film. It leads to killing Osama bin Laden. Therefore, this film is saying that torture is good, which is definitely not the case if you've seen this film. And it was just like a really strange discussion, and it got like really, really, really bad press, got almost blacklisted in a way because of this pro-torture stigma that it got. But then the really interesting thing for me is that later, I think, I'm not sure if just everyone finally saw the film, but if you've seen the film, you know that it's... I don't think the film is really leans one way or the other. I think it's very neutral.
Yeah.
But I think if it's going to lean in any way, it's going to be... It just feels... It's got a real feeling of hopelessness to it. It just really feels like, you know... I think the main theme by the end of the film is, like, what's the point? And that is not the main theme of Argo. Because when you look at it, Argo and Zero Dark Thirty are very, very, very similar films in a lot of ways. Mostly in the fact that they're both, you know, obviously they're both the sort of that sort of military, I guess, type of thing. But Argo is a film where America saves the day, and not only does America save the day, Hollywood saves the day. And if anything,
old white men save the day.
Yeah, old white men save the day. If anything, it sort of it really skews the truth, because as we've found out since, Canada played a much larger part than what is shown in the film. And it's very much like, you know, go America, go Hollywood sort of thing. Whereas Zero Dark Thirty is a film that's like, is America really the hero here? Is it like, you know, when no one's saying that, you know, Osama bin Laden's a good guy, everyone agrees that that guy's a bad guy, but is America like, it asks a lot of questions. Mm. And the fact that the First Lady of the United States presented the award for Best Picture sums up to me why Zero Dark Thirty got snubbed and Argo got Best Picture. I think it's just like, it just speaks volumes for the difference between those two films.
I also think it's Zero Dark Thirty is the most relevant of all of those nine movies, because like, it's basically, its story is still going on today with, like, they're still in the Middle East and there are always drone strikes and all that. And it's the main reason why I was so disappointed that The Social Network didn't win over The King's Speech is The Social Network is way more relevant. That's the one people are still going to be talking about in 50 years' time. And I think they still will be with Zero Dark Thirty and maybe not Argo or these other nominees.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And Zero Dark Thirty is like a, if you know, if nothing else, it's an absolute sort of incredible achievement that this film could come out so quickly and not in a rushed way at all. And in a way, it was almost like kind of a bit of good luck, because if you know all the sort of backstory of this film, you know all about the fact that it was in production before Osama bin Laden was killed and all the story that goes behind it. So I guess in a way it was good luck because they had a head start, I guess. But, you know, I guess it's a happy accident, but it just, it was incredibly relevant, and that's a real, it's really quite amazing. In the same way with The Social Network as well. But,
and it would have been nice to have Megan Allison, who's been financially supporting all these sort of, independent, but not really mainstream movies either. I'd like to see her get rewarded for all of her efforts.
Oh, absolutely. It's like The Master probably wouldn't even, would probably be in development hell if
yeah, exactly.
You know, she's she deserves some recognition. But yeah, I just looked at her page and it turns out she's producing a Terminator 5, so maybe not so much.
Maybe she needs to make some money back.
Yeah, maybe. But yeah, I mean, she also did Killing Them Softly. So let's not get too...
Well, that did sound good going into it.
Yeah, you can't blame her for that one. But yeah, I guess another big thing is that, and I'm echoing things that have been said before, but Zero Dark Thirty really made you think about a lot of things. It really made you question a lot of things. Whereas Argo, I didn't think about it once after I left the cinema.
Mm.
And that's about it. But let's not end on a negative note. I just want to mention my favorite Oscars moment of this year, which didn't even happen during the ceremony, happened afterwards. And that's Mr. Jack Nicholson. we'll link to it, but in the post Oscars, you know, all this press stuff, there was like a party and Jennifer Lawrence is getting interviewed for GMA, and Jack Nicholson just comes along, just sort of just cuts in, sort of acknowledges the presenter, and just goes straight to Jennifer Lawrence, just starts talking to Jennifer Lawrence while they're recording, and just starts, you know, talking about, you know, oh, I really loved you in that film, you were really excellent. Who knows if he really means that, who knows if he even saw the film, because I think it was quite clear what he was getting at. And they just started sort of flirting and everything, and he says, you remind me of an old girlfriend of mine, and Jennifer Lawrence says, what about a new one? And it was all excellent, but the best bit was he walks away, and she's sort of like looking at the camera, she's like, oh my god, is he still behind me? And then he just comes up behind her and says, I'll be waiting. And it was just like the seediest old man, hilarious moment, and it took the cake for me. That was so fantastic, it was so funny. So that was, I really loved that. But yeah, I guess that's the 85th Annual Academy Awards. You got anything else to say about them, Craig?
Not really. I am glad that Argo won, just because I like to see Ben Affleck and George Clooney rewarded all the time, because they're two of my favourite people.
Yeah, as are their beards.
Yes, even though I think Affleck shaved his, which makes me sad.
Yeah. Also, I do want to make it clear that I think Amour was the best film in that category. I thought Amour was definitely the best film of the lot. I thought that Silver Linings Playbook was my favorite of the lot, and I would have been happy if either of them won. I thought Zero Dark Thirty was the best picture of 2012, but I'm happy that Argo won. You know, like Argo, like I said, for pretty much every category, I don't think that was the most deserving one, but I'm happy for them, and I really, really, really like Ben Affleck. I don't know the guy, but I just really am always gunning for that guy. And I'm really happy that he won. His speech was really fantastic, and I really liked it. And, yeah, so I guess we'll leave it at that.
Yeah, thumbs up, Ben Affleck. Now go make a great movie.
Oh, the film that I'm, like, far and away the most excited for, which apparently might not be happening anymore, which is breaking my heart, is that Boston mobster biopic that Ben Affleck was supposed to be making with Matt Damon.
Is it not happening anymore?
Apparently, Ben Affleck said he's not doing it anymore. I know that there was a lot of stuff, like, sort of, I think Mark Wahlberg's people wanted to make it as well, and I really love Mark Wahlberg, but I really wanted Matt and Ben to make it, you know, have their reunion on this film. It sounded really, really incredible. I was really, really, really excited for this film, and it looks like it might not be happening anymore. But let's hope that that he comes back with that one. And I think, like Zero Dark Thirty, that will probably be a better film than Argo, and it won't win Best Picture.
Yeah.
But that always seems to be the way. Alright, do you want to leave it at that, Craig?
Yeah, that's good.
Alright, it was a good year.
It was. I think it's the best year for movies since 2007.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. Yeah, it was a good one. And, I was happy overall. So, yeah. Alright, Craig, where can people find you on the internet?
They can find me on Twitter at Craig_McQuinn and on Tumblr at blackhoudini.tumblr.com.
Okay, and you can find me on Twitter at Mr. Kolaris and on Tumblr at winner.tumblr.com. We'll be back next week to start just talk about movies like normal, like we always do. Now it's all over, the awards season's over, and Side Effects is out this week in Australia. So let's get started again.
Yes.
All right, see you guys.
Bye.